B-Pod Studios.
.com.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Smith, the tight end left. The handoff. Harris on the delay. Runs up the middle. Bounces off a hit. Carries out of another tackle. Across the 15. Yeah. Slips another hit. Driving inside the 5. Push and it. Finding his way to the 1. Yeah. Pushing his way to the end zone. Is he in? Touchdown, Patriots! Oh. Relentless! Damian Harris!
Herculean effort! What a run by Harris!
.95 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Bob Soucy is the voice of the New England Patriots on .95 The Sports Hub's Patriots Radio Network. And Bob's hot takes are powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow Tea, hot takes, and hot tea. Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly. Bob Soucy, hello, sir. Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hello.
Good morning.
Did I hear a sozasm during that last clip instead of a zogasm?
Yeah, you had a moment there, Bob.
Because I have a theory. Bob, tell me if this is correct, that Zolak is so spent after coaching his son's pee-wee football team on Saturday.
I love this theory.
That by the time Sunday comes along, he cannot generate the excitement that he once had.
That's a pretty good theory, and I'm in no position to dispute it, Fred.
Well, I just know he talks. In our personal conversations, it's a lot more about Pee Wee football than it is about the Patriots football. But
He was fired up Sunday morning. I didn't see him Saturday night, of course, because he came up later. But I saw him Sunday morning, and he had his green polo King Philip football shirt on, and he was. Tell me about the trick plays they ran. Yeah. And, really amped up.
I just thank the Lord he never coached my son. All right.
Did you see the picture that he took of him and his son standing next to each other? And he's almost as tall as Zolak.
His kid's going to get like D1 offers next year.
His kid is what? His son is 12?
And he's 7th grade.
6'1", 170 or something already?
Zolak showed me a picture of him next to his classmates. This kid next to his classmates, his son. And he's like a giant amongst men.
He's like a teacher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's huge. And apparently he's pretty damn good, too.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, the thing is he's 6'1", but he's not like a rail. Like
he's filled out. Yes.
Yeah. So, what's going on back there? Who's yelling at you?
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Okay.
So let me find out what it felt like to be in a stadium with a rookie quarterback on the field and having the entire place boo him mercilessly in a second game.
Because if I could just add to it, because Bob, like Connor Hughes and some guys that cover the team for the Jets were talking about how loud MetLife was at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And just the, like Rich said, the turn to the boos. Was it loud at first?
It was, Fred. It was. In fact, I had not seen the parking lots. First of all, we went early at 8:40. We left the hotel at 8:45. And went to the stadium, and I had not seen the parking lots as active at MetLife with tailgaters on any recent visit as yesterday. So often the last few years, it seems like the Patriots have played their middle of the season, late in the season, you know, with the calamity of the Jets team. By that point in a lost season, you see a lot of Patriot fans typically. There's no excitement level whatsoever for the Jets fans, generally middle, late season in recent years. Yesterday, I couldn't help but think, wow, these people are really amped up about this game. And when we got in, and eventually the fans got in. I mean, there's still the huge problem the NFL faces, and they did yesterday in MetLife with the delays because of the ticket system. But I saw very few Patriots fans relative to, again, those previous visits. And the Jets fans, they gave them white towels, and they were waving them, and it was very loud. And they were very excited and amped up. And then, as you said, over the course of really the first half, the environment completely changed. And by middle of the third quarter, there were a lot of gray empty seats. And, I think there was displeasure not only for the rookie quarterback, but for the rookie head coach at times as well.
But I think it's more on the rookie offensive coordinator. He seems to have a lot of learning to do.
Yeah.
All right, so we were talking about, and some listeners disagree with us or just didn't like us talking about it. I mean, the Jets couldn't run the ball at all in week one against Carolina. They ran the ball fairly effectively yesterday. We had a caller say that was by design. Ted Johnson did say he's not sure if Belichick cares that much about people's success running the ball against them. Are you concerned about this run defense at all?
Yeah, I am a bit concerned because they got some big plays on first down in particular. And I don't think that, I understand there have been game plans. For example, when they played Peyton Manning in the past where they wanted to invite him to hand it off, check to runs rather than passing plays. And there's the famous Belichick game plan from the Super Bowl when the Bills lost to the Giants. But I think, early on right now, they're still trying to find their way, seeing some guys who are a bit out of position. I thought they got better as they went along. But as you pointed out, I mean, the Jets averaged 2.6 yards per carry versus Carolina. And I thought yesterday, actually, the Jets probably went away from the run too much. And they didn't help Wilson. You alluded to Mike LaFleur, their offensive coordinator. I just thought their offensive concepts, weren't suited for a young quarterback, particularly after the first mistake or two going up against, a veteran defense and a veteran head coach on the other side. And with the Patriots, I would expect that Belichick is going to try to address that run defense over the course of the next couple of weeks. Some people, often talk about the first month of the season being an extension of preseason. But I do feel like, they got to work on it, and then they're going to have to be better, especially as they move down the line. And they can't give up the kind of plays. I thought it hurt them last week versus Miami and certainly the Jets. By no means this was not the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry yesterday. It was Ty Johnson and the New York Jets.
Yeah. All right. I heard, I figured I would go watch my son umpire his first game rather than, watch the last 4 minutes of that affair. So I heard you guys in the car. And Scott was talking about how, again, reiterating the point that you just made, that LaFleur, the offensive coordinator for the Jets, there was too much on Wilson's plate. Some Patriot fans are complaining about, how conservative this offense is. And yeah. Rich made a good point earlier in the show about there was a flea flicker and you go, oh, here it comes. And then it's just 10-yard pass down the field. But when you compare it to what LaFleur has done and what happened to Wilson in this week, are you comfortable? This is the right thing to do with Mac Jones? Keep it this conservative for him?
Well, I think as long as the formula is working, defense, they got to be better. They still have some mistakes in special teams. Again, the Jets far too good a field position yesterday. I mean, I think that, the big thing is he's made a couple of mistakes, generally against the pass rush. Should be yesterday, there's the intentional grounding the week before was the fumble. But he hasn't made mistakes for putting the ball really in harm's way. Once or twice, like Mosley tipped a ball yesterday that could have been picked. That was a good play on his part. But to me, that's the biggest thing right now. The first step is, don't put your quarterback in a position where there's ire, likelihood that he's going to fail. I thought the Jets, again, they like the deep drop backs off the play action. They look to throw it further downfield. A lot of bootleg action for him. Poor offensive line. Patriots have a poor offensive line. And I think to take some deeper shots, they're going to have to protect Mac Jones a lot better going forward. And honestly, I don't know whether the receivers are. I'm watching the ball, so I don't see where the receivers are. Zoe had a strong sense that they weren't getting open enough. And I think that's still a problem for this team. And, a lot of people recognized it even back in the summer that at wide receiver, Aguilar was the one guy with speed downfield, but we really haven't seen that yet in two regular season games. And I don't know if that's a reflection of just a conservative approach to Josh McDaniels, the lack of pass protection consistently for Mac Jones, or that Jones is missing some of those guys that are open downfield. And he talked about that yesterday. It seems like he's well aware. I just think as the offense evolves as we go along, they will put more on his plate in that regard, and we will see him take some shots. I'd like to see, occasionally some shots to the end zone when they're in scoring range. But I think against the Jets yesterday, maybe that's the kind of game plan where you were merited by being a little bit more conservative considering, you know, what you were seeing from the other side.
Well, and to your point, Bob, you know, this is almost going to seem like nitpicking, because any team would love to have a guy like James White when you have a rookie quarterback, someone who's, you know, a veteran, an escape hatch, he can kind of do it all. Are they leaning on him a little too much? Do you believe that? Because I think that over the past, like, two games, he's, you know, had more touches than I think any other player on that offense. Do you think that they might be leaning on him just a little too much?
Yeah, I don't think so, Rich. I think, you know, James, you know, yeah, even yesterday, I think he had a lot of touches earlier rather than later. And, you know, he looks good. I think he's looked, you know, from the start of training camp, you know, to this point, he's looked a lot better than last year. And I know last season's lack of production for him, I think he had the fewest catches in his career since 2015. A lot of that was on the quarterback and just the nature of their offense last year and what they could and could not do. I think James might have been dealing with, you know, some physical issues. And, of course, it was a very traumatic and tragic year for him and his family personally. And I think that since he re-signed with the Patriots and really in the spring, but especially, you know, from day one of the summer, training camp and in the preseason, he's looked good. And I think that, you know, they've got to incorporate J.J. Taylor eventually a bit more, and that might alleviate some of that burden on White. They had the luxury of Rex Burkhead, when healthy in the past, to ask him to do some of those things, catch the ball out of the backfield, you know, take some of the carries away from Sony Michel when they were together in the backfield. So maybe Taylor's the guy, maybe Ramondre Stevenson. Part of it could be, you know, his step back the last week or two with the fumble and then being inactive yesterday. But I think, you know, I don't look at White and say, oh, they used him too much or they put him at risk the last couple of days.
What's the ticket situation you're talking about? Because is this like you're talking about getting in into the stadium?
Yeah, oh, it's a disaster at MetLife, yeah.
What, like, because I haven't heard about this. I mean, I heard about there's been a couple places it's been a pain in the ass. I think everything's digital at Gillette as well. I did not go to the first game.
But Bob, it's not to illustrate Rich's point, it's not an exaggeration to say there were tens of thousands of people waiting to get into that game at one point.
Yeah. I don't think so. You know, from some of the pictures that I saw, for sure. You know, and it's a wireless. It's a ticketless system.
It's a disaster.
And if you look, we remember Mike Tomlin on opening day a few years ago, hearing our broadcast in his headset.
Yeah.
Any problems at the NFL stadiums. There are so many frequencies within an NFL stadium. Wireless internet.
So the problem is they can't pull up their ticket.
Yeah, you got
ticket.
You got 80,000 people. And they got to have their phone working, and they're all trying to get on. You have not only is your phone working, but you have to get cellular service. So you have 80,000 people, and you get to the front of the line, and the thing craps out on you, and it's not even your fault. And then, Rich, if you have multiple tickets, you have to scroll through. So the whole thing's a mess.
Right.
It's a mess. And it's also they can control the secondary market. The Red Sox are doing the same thing. Because if you sell your Red Sox tickets, the only way to really do it, like, easily is to do it through them. So it's greed in paper. It was a disaster out there. There was Scott had a picture of it. It was there was legitimately 20,000 people
because everyone chose you try and get in at the last minute, and everyone checks their phones at the last minute at the same time.
Or you checked your phone and you had it, and then your phone goes to sleep, and then you pick up your phone again, and you got to get it again.
Here's a hack on that, which seems like so ridiculously easy that you can't even think. Just screen cap it. Take a picture. And then you put it in your photos, and then you can pull it right up and you show it to
them. That's a very good idea. But unfortunately, you know, who's thinking about that? I mean, it's
you said it too, like when your, you know, kid gets up to go get something and they've got to go bring it down. God. You got to give them your phone.
Oh yeah. Cause I go to Red Sox games with my kid and like his friend or something. And like, you know, I want them to be able to like walk around the stadium, walk around the park.
How's he going
to
get back without that digital ticket that's in your phone?
So I had to send him the ticket to his phone.
He has a phone. Not every kid has a phone.
No,
that pain in the ass.
But even if he has a phone, it's a huge pain in the ass. You get to download the app.
I know. It's just...
Because, by the way, if you show... Yeah, I guess. But if you show a picture of the ticket to an usher and he's being... To get in, you could use it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it hadn't been scanned before. But the usher could be a prick and go, this is a picture of a ticket. This isn't your ticket.
I mean, if that's the case, then,
But all right.
What are we even doing?
All right, Bob. Well, listen, good job with the call yesterday, and picking up the slack for Scott that was all burnt out from his pee-wee game.
I should have mentioned that to him.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, Bob, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
See, there should be a line that's to the right of all the lines to get in, and you have 5 seconds to get your digital ticket up, and if you don't, you go to that other line. And you say, you go in this line right here. You got to be make sure you got that crap up and going before you get in. Now, I know sometimes in this case, Fred, it sounds like it was a cell issue, like the cell phone. But I've seen people who have waited to get in line and to take out their phone and then start scrolling through when they're already at the front of the line.
I just know, like, usually I have no patience for people like that. But I can tell you, like, dude, you like say like you just like wanted tickets from your friend. You have to download Ballpark app. Then you have to register for the Ballpark app. And then you have to put the Red Sox as your favorite team. And then you can, and I can't even access the tickets right now because it's not close enough to the game, and I have tickets for Saturday's game.
Okay, I am hearing from not only Zolak, he just texted us, but also some other people, is that with the Ticketmaster ones, you can't screenshot them because there's a rotating barcode that's always changing. Well, that's nice. I mean, that's fantastic. If you can't even do that. Now, I know that if you have an iPhone, on a lot of them, you can put them in your wallet.
Yes.
And that helps.
Yes. And but
or you, does it? Do you still need Wi-Fi for that?
Or
signal?
But there's no way you can't. There's no way they would let them put you in the wallet, I don't think, off the MLB app. And off the MLB Ballpark app.
Oh, they got to change that
then. But and if there is a way to do it, it's like something that would take 20 minutes to do. So I know you can do it with airline tickets and stuff,
okay.
But like,
well, Fred, to your point, the one thing that I thought was genius. Do you remember when we were in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl and they had just opened up that brand new state-of-the-art stadium? What was the main thing that they were bragging about that place? Was that they had more cell phone connectivity than any other stadium that had been made, where they said it was almost like impossible to not get a signal from every seat in the house, and they designed it so that 100,000 people at the same time could try to get a signal and it would be fine. It's the way it was designed. All of these new stadiums, I mean, they've got to figure out a way to make that work. I believe the Raiders stadium might have done the same thing because nowadays, that's the way you do it.
Designed by Mark Davis.
Okay, well, how about if you have season tickets, they just give you paper tickets, and then if you buy tickets, then you have to do it digitally.
Because the other thing, Fred, is that it used to be the justification for this was because they wanted to be touchless because of COVID. What have we learned about like surfaces over the last like several months? It's not as big of an issue as it used to be.
Well, if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. They want it because they want to control how you sell the tickets in the secondary market. Believe me, because as someone who sold my tickets for much less than face value on the secondary market, it's 1,000 times easier to do it through the app. But I mean,
is this an issue in Gillette? Like from what we've heard, is it with game one? Was this an issue?
I don't know, but they better to get it together in 2 weeks.
I'm just gonna say a week from Sunday, that's gonna be a massive problem.
They better to get it together for that game.
Unless they smoothed it out. Yeah.
And my advice to you is to get into that game early. Let's go to Chris. Chris, go ahead.
I was at their first game. It was a horror show.
Yeah.
I had to shut my phone off and reboot the phone. I'm standing in line. I'm holding people up. I have 4 tickets on my phone, so there's 3 other people beside me. It was a horror show to get in there.
Yeah, and you'll notice I don't blame you. For this, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Because you say that the 5-second thing, Rich, but
I wasn't
easy.
Thinking about the cell signal, because then that's completely different.
It's not CVS. It's not a matter of people getting up there and just going, I'm the only person in the world.
But if it's a matter of having to have a signal and it not being strong enough because you have 100,000 people trying to get on something that's not adequate, a network that isn't adequate, then that's on just horrible planning and infrastructure in the part of the stadium and the NFL actually coming out and requiring this.
They should just, if you have season tickets, they should just send you the paper ticket.
Or Fred, how about if you buy them on Ticketmaster, you can print them out at home?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it used to be. Listen, there used to be a nice balance over the TD Garden. You could scan your tickets if you wanted to, or you could print them out. And I know why they said you had to have touch-free tickets. But I think that's changed.
Yeah, well, I mean, they weren't doing it for COVID. They were doing it to save money, and they were doing it to control the secondary market. And it's a shame because it's impossible. It's not good.
Well, the fact that you can't screen cap them, that's a...
And but what about just like wanting a ticket? I mean, it might sound corny, but I want my ticket.
Yeah, it sounds corny.
Okay, but I want it. I'm corny. You know, put me in a sailor suit and, you know, take some photos. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
America.
They've got the insiders.
Mr. Jaffe, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and we have not gone around the NFL because everyone wanted to yell at me.
Well, I mean, listen, it's some things are more pressing than others. But let's talk about something that I'm telling you, every time I see this guy play, the more I get excited for 13 days from now.
Gita V is a fullback, play action fake, pass in the end zone, catch, diving catch, touchdown, Tampa Bay, Tommy to Gronky again.
I hate Gronky. Gross. And I hate like any of that stuff. Yeah, Gronk,
like you're best friends with those guys.
Two touchdowns, four already this season for Rob Gronkowski. Four daggers to the hearts of Patriots fans. But Brady, he was just not even near done at that point.
Second down and five, about five and a half. Mark to make is the 7 yard line. Here's the snap out of the gun. Brady looking, going toward the end zone. Ed Godwin makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons. Five touchdown passes. Brady
today. I mean, and you know what? Ted said it best. Whatever Tom Brady wants, he gets. It's like at the point where he just chooses. He chooses what he wants to do, and he's seen everything. And that defense is unbelievable.
That's right. Antonio, you know, we connected last week. I threw the ball way too much. You know what, Rob? It's your turn. Or, you know, Godwin, it's your turn.
I said this earlier in the show, and I truly mean it. I think this is more than about just Tom Brady coming here and embarrassing everyone. I think that he is going to add the cherry on top by making Rob Gronkowski a star as well.
Yeah.
He's going to have him catch at least two touchdown passes that game.
Seriously, how would the Patriots stop them?
Oh,
what are they going to do?
There's nothing that they can do with that offense. On top of that,
you load as many DBs on the field as you can and hope that he turns and hands the ball off a lot.
Right. Okay,
that's what you try and do.
And it'll throw underneath the Gronkowski.
Yeah,
break your heart that way.
But most importantly, it all sets up for the record breaker here a week from Saturday. I mean, Brady threw for 200. He threw five touchdown passes, but only 276 yards, which means with one game to go before he gets to the Patriots, he needs 499 yards.
He's going to break it here.
Yep.
As planned. And you know what? If you put out six DBs, all right, here, Rob. You go 2 yards down the field. I'll throw you the ball and dare them to tackle you.
Yeah.
Good luck with your six DBs tackling Rob Gronkowski.
If I'm Belichick, what I do.
Guys, 60 yards after the catch. I mean, you can't bring him down. So, I mean,
better than getting torched deep for an 80-yard score.
People get mad at me, but. And then, for that matter, even though Fournette's not what he was, he's a big back. If you want to, then I'll throw screens to Fournette and let him run all over your secondary. Who's going to bring him down? People get mad at me. They're going to kill him.
Yeah, that game is going to be a blowout. Because, once again, we know that Tom Brady right now can just call his shots. He can do whatever he wants to do with whatever team he wants to do it against.
And what, are you going to confuse him?
Yeah. And the other thing is, you talk to anyone who knows Tom Brady. We've talked to a few people who have actually spoken with Tom Brady. This is as personal a game as you can have, as he has probably had in, I mean, what do you think? Maybe after the whole Deflategate situation, does it get any more personal than what happened here?
He's obviously doesn't like Belichick. And, you know, he's very aware of his legacy, First of all, I think he wants to go undefeated. And usually Freddie always wants to go undefeated. I think that he believes they have an opportunity to go undefeated this year, which 17 games, Jesus, good luck. But even if they were to lose 8 games this year, one ain't going to be a Gillette.
It's true. Well, keeping an eye.
Because you imagine you F up in that game. I don't care if you're a special teamer, you're the 52nd guy in the roster, special teamer. You F up in that game, Brady's in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 16-1 with the one loss in Foxborough would be devastating for him.
He's not losing.
I'm telling you, if for some strange reason the Patriots win in week 4, Belichick's fine for the season. They could lose every other game.
Right.
That's a Super Bowl.
You want to play the game after they beat Tampa Bay. You want to play New England the game after
right.
they beat
Foot
Tampa
off the
Bay.
Gas, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, everyone's coming in hungover.
See, guys, that's when they're going to open up the playbook for Mac Jones. That's the game.
I see.
That's when you're going to see all sorts of crazy.
Yeah, against that real garbage defense. Yeah, that's what you want to do.
Foxborough special.
Actually, you know where they are after they play Tampa? In Houston.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Watch, they'll beat Tampa and lose to Houston. But, yeah, that's when you want to open up the playbook is against that defense.
Well, we are jumping ahead way too much because this weekend, remember when Jameis Winston was the greatest quarterback in the world?
I thought he was.
Blitz is coming. Winston avoids it one way, throws, and this is going to be intercepted. It's a takeaway. Justin Burris has it for Carolina. And I know there are fans.
All right. Fred,
whenever he does the game, Chris Myers, it always sounds like a JV game. It always sounds like a Lions game. Because that's all he does usually is Lions games.
Well, Fred's gotten beaten up enough on the Jameis Winston thing, so let's talk about something.
I thought Jameis, and by the way, him having a down game still refutes my argument because now he's not going to be. I thought Jameis Winston was going to be a star this year, and I thought he would be going to be like a top five quarterback, and by that performance, that eliminates that possibility.
And you know what? Here's another reality. As much as I said that this game he was going to suck because that's what he did, game on, game off, game on, game off, he would look great one year and he would look awful the next, that means you can't discount that he might come in here and throw 4 touchdown passes and throw for like 450 yards next week.
My opinion on Jameis Winston is silence now. He is letting me down.
You have no idea what you're going to get out of Jameis Winston.
No.
Well, you don't.
But
I'll tell you this, though, Fred. Maybe this will make you feel better. On the other hand, Sammy D looks like all you had to do was get out of New York because he looked pretty damn good. 305 yards, 2 touchdowns. Sitting there with a 2-0 record.
Yeah, that's a good defense.
Carolina
too.
Not looking bad.
He did not look good against the Jets. So, and then he goes up against that. Did Lattimore play in that game?
I didn't watch it. Okay. Yeah, so I don't know.
He's got the bad thumb.
You got to hope Lattimore is not here next week.
Well, and that in New Orleans was missing 8 assistant coaches yesterday.
Yeah, big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fred, another thing that should probably piss off Patriots fans plenty was the way that the team that beat him in week 1 performed in week 2.
Back to throw. Tua throws it behind the intended receiver, Waddle. It's incomplete, and the ball will go over to the Bills on downs.
Boy, Tua looks hurt there, too. Goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. His Spencer cracked him.
He's just getting zero time to throw. That was a quick release.
Well, so anyway, like I said, I was listening to the game on the radio the last like 4 minutes of it, and Scott kept ruminating on just how terrible a loss that was in week 1. Scott, your hero, everyone. Scott Zolak actually was ruminating on how terrible that loss was. Because he's like, you know, they beat the Jets. They should be 2-0. And then you see what the rest of the AFC did, and everyone kind of came back down to earth, except for the...
There's only two teams in the AFC who have undefeated records,
and
that's the Broncos
Vegas.
And Vegas. Broncos and Vegas. Who would have called
okay,
that?
Okay, I'm telling you, Bridgewater's a good enough quarterback to take that team to the playoffs. There's an awful lot of talent on that Broncos team, hence why they were so in on... They wanted Rodgers, I guess, too.
Tough division, though. I mean, it's...
It's a very, very tough division, but that's a very good team. And I think Bridgewater's an underrated quarterback.
I think
Bridgewater's a perfectly competent quarterback.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Slightly above average.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, you know what?
But guys like that, you know, there's a million jabronis playing quarterback, and this guy's got to play for 10 teams before he can find a home. And by the way, he's on Denver, and all they're doing is looking to replace him. So, if he's better than half the quarterbacks in the NFL, He's been treated fairly unfairly. Fairly unfairly.
Fairly, fairly.
That's the name of my new album.
Mm-hmm. Well, they scored a grand total of 0 points yesterday. So feel good about that. Let that one sink in.
They should have lost to the Patriots. They got their asses kicked yesterday by Buffalo. And you're stuck with Tua as your quarterback moving forward.
Well, that's on Flores, too. Again, Flores has been anointed this like, you know, fantastic, brilliant defensive mind. Well, make the playoffs. If he makes the playoffs, fine.
Well,
until he makes the playoffs, he's no better than anybody else.
I know, but they looked good at the end of last year. They did. They look, and not only
Jets
that, they
won their
good.
last two games.
I know, but Miami won 10 games and they look good. They finished strong. That win over the Patriots to cost the Patriots that number two seed here.
There's a lot of talent
of
on that team
during a lost year. I mean, Flores had that team. Miami's been so bad.
Should
for
they
so
be
long.
A playoff team?
Yes.
Okay, if they don't make the playoffs, then enough with Flores.
Yeah, I agree.
That's fine.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
Well, it depends on whether, like, who's a quarterback,
well,
I guess,
I mean,
for the rest
look,
of the season.
They chose Tua.
Jacoby Brissett's your guy. You can't put that on them. I mean, it sucks, but expectations change.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
All right, when we get back, I will play you one of the best botched radio calls of the very short season already.
I didn't know that Sterling was doing football.
On top of that, we will give you two genuinely cool moments from last night's Emmys, including a tribute to Norm MacDonald.
Good. I wish Norm MacDonald got this kind of treatment when he was alive.
Yes.
He did from his peers. That's the one thing you can say is that all those people loved him, but
he got screwed by networks, and then you heard Conan came out and said that they asked that he didn't have him on as a guest.
And good for Conan for continuing to have him on as a guest.
Yeah. I mean, the guy just was not given respect by networks. He was not appreciated the way he should have been. And so it's a reminder to treat people, you know, if you're going to applaud these people after they die, you know, let them know how you feel when they're living. All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We'll be back here at the headline.
Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Oh, you got to stack the whole dang thing up. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Okay, well, let's play Great Moments in Radio Broadcasting. The Vikings, they had a chance to beat the Cardinals in the final seconds of their game with a 37-yard field goal. Minnesota was trailing 34-33 at the time. I believe this gentleman's name is Paul Allen, right? Isn't he
yes.
the radio voice?
He's the guy
voice?
Who lost it when Favre took a knee and threw that key pick in the
Why
NFC
Why are you even throwing passes? Yeah, he lost his mind
that's
on
Paul
that.
Allen, yes.
Well, here is the voice of Paul Allen calling a last-second field goal attempt by the Minnesota Vikings to win it.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone!
It's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Oh, my.
He missed it right.
What a gut punch.
Yeah, that is the much, much northern version of Scott Zolak. Snolak. Over there in Minnesota. So congratulations. To Mr. Snolak, he ends up blowing that call right there. Way to go. I think that, this whole weekend was nuts. Like, all these different quarterbacks were getting hit, jacked up. Although, Fred, I'll have you know, Baker Mayfield, you see him get knocked out of the game? They dislocated his shoulder. You know what he did? Went out in the locker room, pulled a Lethal Weapon? He just goes, bah! Yeah. Nails it against the wall, comes back in, wins the day.
My friend says, my friend lives in Austin, and he says that he sees Baker Mayfield out all the time, and he's like, how the hell is this guy getting hit? I mean, this guy he just looks like some, like, normal dude.
Just a guy.
Yeah, doesn't look like a professional football player. He blows.
Well, the Emmys were last night, and if you were a fan of Ted Lasso, then you got to see some of your favorite people win a zillion awards. I think it was a sweep, everything they were nominated for. As a matter of fact, I was looking at the best supporting actress and supporting actor. There was like, how many in the supporting actor? One, two, three, four different characters from that show or actors nominated for best supporting actor.
No, but they gave it to the right guy, Roy Kent.
They gave it to the right guy. Fred, as I said, I don't think you would like the show. I like the show a lot, but to be quite honest, especially in season two, it's because of one guy. It's a dude, a character by the name of Roy Kent, played by a gentleman by the name of Brett Goldstein. He's one of the great television characters right now. He's extremely foul-mouthed. He's one of the guys who used to play. He's now a coach on the show. And when he went up to make a speech, it was actually pretty much almost identical to his character on the show.
Very, very specifically told I'm not allowed to swear. So this speech is going to be f-ing short. Thank you, Warners. Thank you, Apple. Thank you, ID. Thank you, the team. It's the most privilege. And this is the icing on the cake. I'm so sorry. Please have me back. Thank you very much.
There you go. So Brett Goldstein, Roy Kent finally gets a little bit of justice. Mayor of Easttown winning an assload of awards, including not only Kate Winslet, but who is the supporting actress who's from this area? She was the mother on the show.
Jean Smart.
No, not Jean Smart. Not her mother. It was the mother of like one of the little boys. Best friend.
The one, yeah.
Yeah. Jean Smart, however, won a zillion awards for that other show, Hacks, that she's on HBO.
Hacks is okay, but the younger character on Hacks is constantly in the bathroom, which is there's a lot of her using the bathroom.
Oh, a lot of the scatological there.
It's not even humor. It's just there's this wave now of, like, I guess it's considered freedom to just have a lot of scenes okay. with the women on the toilet, just, like, doing stuff, and you're like, okay.
Seems sexy.
Well, cancel me for my not liking that.
Well,
I'm just old-fashioned that way.
Well, Saturday Night Live ended up winning the award for, I think it was Best Ensemble Comedy, or Outstanding Variety Sketch Series is what they call it. And
as opposed to what else?
I'm not quite sure. What else is in that group? I'll have to take a look. But Lorne Michaels got up on stage to accept the award and had some nice things to say about Norm Macdonald.
I think he meant the world to the people there. I can tell you from just the number of people I've heard from, the number of people that have gone and talked about Norm. All of us had, when you work with somebody for that many years and they make you laugh and you're aware of who they are as a person and as a friend. I think Norm was one of the funniest people I've ever known. And because he's Canadian, I put him right there up in the top five.
Norm had told Lorne while he was on Saturday Night Live that he would do Update Forever, that he liked the job so much that he would have done it forever.
But somebody chose, what's his name, Olmeyer,
there's some
guy who ran NBC?
But there's some people think Lorne had a hand in it, too. So, good. I'm glad that he appreciated him. It would have been nice if Norm did that forever, because he was far and away the best who's ever done it.
You did say something off the air, which I agree with, or maybe it was on the air, where you said that, I wish that people gave him this kind of respect while he was alive. His peers always did. Comedians would always say that. But to your point, Fred, I'm starting to see a lot more people now say that Norm was the funniest Weekend Update anchor. And I think that for a while, we were kind of on an island with that.
Rolling Stone had him as one of the, they listed all the performers ever on Saturday Night Live, and I think they had him last.
Last on everyone? Behind, Ellen Cleghorn
Cleghorn was on the show. How about Terry Sweeney? How about guys Cleghorn. That, were in one sketch? Yes, wow. Behind literally everyone that had ever been on Saturday Night Live.
Wow. Norm Macdonald last. That is as hot a take as you could throw out.
Well, it just, it means, then everything means nothing. Because of, I don't know. I don't know what gets into people. I don't know what people think is funny. He to me was the funniest person who's ever lived.
Listen, I think that, and I know a lot of people hate on this season or this cast that they used to have a Saturday Night Live. But there was some really funny stuff that they came out with over the past year. I mean, they weren't batting 1,000 by any means, but you could almost count on one or two very funny skits. And I like their Weekend Update guys. I think Michael Che and the other guy who's married to Scarlett Johansson.
I think they're the second best who've ever done it.
Dennis Miller. And well, maybe it's just because I started watching.
Well, you got to give Miller credit because Norm does is that. Before Dennis Miller, it was a parody of local news.
He just made real legitimate jokes.
And then he turned it into basically a stand-up act. And then Norm took that and Norm gives him all the credit for it. And then it's funny because Colin Quinn was like, the whole time I wanted people to know I didn't steal the job from Norm. So I had this chip on my shoulder where I never would smile and I always looked pissed off. And he's like, because I was so concern that people thought that like I undercut Norm for the gig and because he knew Norm was 1,000 times better than him. I mean, you could have Colin on, he would tell you in 5 seconds that you knew Norm was 1,000 times better than him. Now, you know, Colin's a great, great stand-up and a very, 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 very smart man. But no, Norm was the best. And you know, the opportunity, you know, Norm wanted the late show. You know, Norm wanted the late show. He wanted the 12:30 show. But, you know, you got to put James Corden in there. Like, so for all the people that are like, oh, Norm was so funny, Norm was so funny. Well, why didn't you give him a show? Like, why wasn't he doing a show?
Yeah.
Like, the sport, he didn't think the sports show was funny, but I thought the sports show was great.
Sports show was funny, but it was set to fail because they debuted it during the NBA Finals. Remember, yes. He had to go head-to-head? Like, if you're going to watch the sports show, if you legitimately like sports, why would you program that thing opposite, I think it was like a LeBron James Finals, like the one that the Heat was like their first time they could win a championship or something?
I just know if the funniest guy in the world is out there, I would give him an opportunity to do something.
You find a way to do it. Yeah, you find a way to make something happen. At least Netflix has done something good. Like over the weekend, they re-released that late night Norm talk show, which I think it only went away for like a month, and then they brought it back. Because I watched it around, I think around like Christmas, I think I watched that. And, yeah. And I loved it.
Well, just based on the guests that he got, you can tell that the people, you know, how respected he was because, like you said, he got Letterman and, Jim Carrey.
The best the two best are Letterman and Spade. The Spade one's excellent.
Yeah. You know who Norm was no fan of? Joe Rogan.
Oh, really?
Because, like, his group of comedians is, like, called the Assassins or something like that. And, like, something, like, dumb like that. And he's like, you don't want them assassins coming after you. Like these, can you imagine? Like, I'm going to the comedy show and these assassins are coming out of nowhere.
They got jokes like Chinese stars and swords.
And then, so I was watching this YouTube thing and it was all him ripping on Joe Rogan. But then Joe Rogan will have all these comedians come on that are like, no, Norm is the greatest, Norm is the greatest. And you can tell just Joe shuts down because he can't say he's not funny.
Of course you can't.
Because he's a billion times funnier than you. Like they're not even the same unit. They don't even do the same job. But Joe Rogan's sitting on a pile of $200 million for a 3-hour podcast that I'm sure everyone's listening to. And Norm, you know, lived in a 1-bedroom apartment. All right, that'll do it for us. Scott, I just saw you put a water in front of me. That was very nice of him.
I'm not sure what that means. Is that a prison honey bun thing?
I'm not touching is all I know. I know about the honey bun. You can't eat the honey bun or you're going to be someone's toy. All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a wonderful day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.